Oh man, I love that video. It's really funny. The Christmas according to kids, you know, they make it look so cute and funny, that story, don't they? I just thought it was really funny. Well, good evening. How are you guys doing? You doing okay? Good, yeah. We let some people up on stage we don't normally let up there. It's a good night. All right, it's a good night. Hey, I'm excited to be here. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Dave Orweller. I'm on staff with H2O and helping to lead here in H2O City. And I'm excited for tonight. It's Christmas Eve. And I don't know if you know this, H2O, we have never had a Christmas Eve or Christmas church service before. We are always just shut down over break for all the students are gone. So this is our first one. So I was really excited about that as well. And I'm excited too because we get to take another look at the Christmas story. And it's such a great story. And I'm sure it's one that a lot of us are probably super familiar with. But I'm willing to bet that we're familiar with the story probably a little bit more like it looked in that video, right? Kind of cute, sweet, a peaceful story of a cuddly little baby amongst some cute, cuddly sheep or rhinos, I'm not sure. Maybe we picture something like this. You see that? That's so cute. There's gold columns back there. I don't know where they found that. So, you know, we might like to have a cute, cuddly little manger scene in our homes, but the reality is that there wasn't much in this whole story that we would probably consider cute or cuddly. And we may be super familiar with this story, but the reality is that it would have been completely unexpected for the people who were involved. And so tonight, I hope that we can take a look at this story, maybe from a fresh perspective. And specifically, we're going to look at Mary's perspective of this whole thing. What was it like for her? And I hope that we can connect with just how surprising and maybe unexpected this all was for her. But before we jump in, let's pray. God, thanks for tonight and just this opportunity for us to be together, to worship you, remember you and your coming to this earth to save us. And we thank you for this chance to be together and to celebrate. And we pray you'd speak to us tonight and that you'd help us just to ponder how amazing it is that you've come here to earth to rescue us. And we just pray for this time. We pray in your name. Amen. All right. Well, have you guys ever heard the phrase, expectations are everything? Has anybody ever told you that? I actually can't see if you're saying yes or no. Yes? Okay. Yes. Good, good. Some verbal feedback would be great, guys. Well, my wife, Alyssa, and I, we had heard that before our first baby, Jake, was born, but I don't know if we knew exactly what that meant. Jake's 16 months old now, and I have to say our expectations for what it was going to be like to have a baby, they were not in line with reality, all right? And apparently, this is not an uncommon thing for first-time parents, because I found a series of pictures that help sort of describe some of the expectations versus reality when it comes to parenting kids. And because this is where I'm living right now, I thought I'd share some of those with you to help you get a sense, right, for what is it like. So let me show you a picture here. Feeding, you know, before we had a baby, I thought the baby'd be hungry, you'd give them food, sort of it'd be cute. Bonding experience like that top picture, and then the reality is it's a little bit more messy than we might like. And then I thought, okay, bathing, you know, maybe that's, you know, a fun time to play. And, you know, there's expectations and then there's reality, right? We found out our son hates bathing for a while, and then he decided he liked it, and so at least that's good. But okay, and then sleeping, you know, I thought you put a baby down and the baby will sleep. And maybe you'll cuddle, and it'll be so cute and peaceful. And the reality—see, that baby's like on top of Dad's head. I can relate to that. And one time, Jake woke up and sort of tried to just push me out of our bed, and I was like, "Wow, okay, That's not exactly what I had in mind. Okay, and then one final picture I just had to include in here. You know, you think you're going for a walk, you're going to put your child up on your shoulders and walk, and it's going to be a cute bonding experience. And then something like that happens, and you know, that's probably, you know, too far, right? I probably went too far to show that one. Sorry about that. But all kidding aside, without knowing it, we had so many expectations of what parenting would look like. And we were so excited to find out that Alyssa was pregnant. And we felt so blessed to have the gift of a child, to be chosen to be his mom and dad. And we're still so thankful for that. None of those things have taken that back. But without exaggerating, for us, these last 16 months have been just a constant battle for us. And we've had to identify these expectations we didn't even know we had, and then try to adjust them to line up with reality. And sometimes it's gone really great, and it's been fun, and sometimes it's been really, really tough for us. And so now, when I read the Christmas story, it's totally changed my perspective of what this must have been like, just even in the same level of having a baby. Honestly, it's changed my perspective about a lot of things in life. But this story, I can't help but wonder, what was Mary's experience of this when Jesus was born? What were her expectations of being chosen to be Jesus' mom? And what did it actually look like for her? And what can we learn from it? That's what we're hoping to dive into tonight. And so we're just going to jump right into the story. This is in Luke 1. In verse 26, it said, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' Then the angel left her." Okay, if you will, just imagine that you're Mary for a second, and this happened to you. There would be so much going through your mind, right? So many feelings, things going on in your heart. It was a very short interaction, right? But so much information to digest. Let's take a little bit deeper look at it. First of all, Mary learned that she was highly favored by God. An angel is sent to give her a message. That's not something that happens very often, right? She knew it was of great importance right away. And that message was that God had chosen her over everyone else in the world to be Jesus' mother. What an unbelievable honor and privilege, right? What that angel said was certainly true. She was highly favored. But before we just move on, I wonder if an angel appeared to you and told you that you are highly favored by God, what would you expect that to look like? What would it look like to be highly favored by God? I was thinking about it, you know, and I would expect some sort of blessing, you know, something nice, maybe an award, I don't know, some recognition, or at least maybe just some joy, some good times. And we don't really know what Mary expected in that. But I'm willing to bet that she could not have expected the way her life would have turned out. But there was way more to process right than just that she was highly favored. And I'm sure her heart and mind went here really quickly when she figured out this information from the angel. She must have had some fear about what would happen. She was just put in a really, really awkward and dangerous position, right? She was a young teenager, engaged to be married, and she found out that she's going to have a baby outside of wedlock. Everyone would assume the worst about her. And so would Joseph, right? He certainly knew that he wasn't the father. And in that culture, that was very serious. Like, so serious, she could be killed. And if she wasn't killed, at least publicly humiliated. And the only story she has to go on is an angel appeared to me, right? And told me I'm going to have God's son, and he's going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. There is no way she expected anybody to believe her story, right? She was so scared. Think about what she would have been feeling, right? Sure, probably honored and surprised, but also scared. Would she even be safe? What would happen when Joseph found out? She had no idea, and she certainly knew at least she would look crazy to everybody. But we see at the end of that passage, amazingly, she agrees to it anyways, not knowing what that would mean for her. And she has to be wondering, is this really what it looks like to be favored by God? I'm going to have to go through all this stuff. Who knows what's going to happen? Well, maybe it would get better, right? At least there was that hope. So let's fast forward 9 months to the time when the baby's to be born. This is in Luke 2. It said, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So much for that cute, cuddly manger scene, right? Mary's 9 months pregnant, and she has to go on a long journey, okay? Now, I can't speak to what it's like to be pregnant. I've been told that multiple times, but I have seen enough to know that you do not want to be traveling when you're 9 months pregnant, okay? And especially if that meant hopping on a donkey and going on a 4 or 5 days journey, okay? That is not what you want. And then when you arrive, there's no guest rooms available for you to stay in, so they end up staying with animals, okay? It's not a clean, tidy place. There's no gold pillars. Think dirty, stinky, uncomfortable, painful. And think about, again, what is Mary thinking and feeling in the midst of this? She had to be scared, right? I don't even know where we're going. And uncomfortable, worried, would they find a place? Would she be okay? And again, she has to be thinking, is this really what God's favor looks like? I don't even know where I'm going to have this baby. Well, maybe it would get better. Right? The story continues in verse 8. It said, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So we see God announce the birth of his son to the shepherds, and they come to see Jesus. I'm sure there's significance to all the various elements of this story, and we don't have enough time to get into all of it tonight, but I love that quick mention of Mary at the end of that passage. Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. I've always wondered what that meant. What did it mean that Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart? What was she treasuring up? What was she pondering? And again, we don't really know. We can only speculate. You know, maybe it was just all the supernatural activity that was happening. Angels showing up, proclaiming Jesus' birth to the shepherds, to her, to Joseph. Maybe it was about how and why God had chosen her to be a part of it all. Maybe she was just taking it all in. But I can't help but wonder if she wasn't pondering the stark contrast between her difficult experiences and the angel's message to the shepherds. Did you catch that? Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace. Seriously? Peace? Was that a joke? The last year of her life had been one of great difficulty and trials and fear and loneliness and probably shame and questioning herself and pain, both physical and emotional. But where was the peace? God had said she was highly favored. Maybe she was pondering because she wondered if it would get better now that Jesus was born. Maybe it's all over and it'll get better now. Maybe she was pondering just what kind of peace was it? Maybe she was pondering who Jesus would become and what she thought it might look like as he became the king of Israel. But we know that, once again, her expectations of Jesus' life were probably far from what actually happened to Jesus. Now, 2,000 years later, we know, looking back at the story, that it was God's plan for Jesus to come to earth twice, not just once. And the first time, he came in humility, in weakness, ultimately to suffer and die on the cross, to pay the penalty of our sins, to free us from the power of sin in our lives. And the second time, which is still in the future, he will come in power and rule as Israel's rightful king and put an end to the very presence of sin altogether. And Mary didn't know that, and she couldn't have known all the difficult and scary and intensely painful things that she would experience as a result of God's favor to her. Right after this, they have to flee. They flee Herod's attempt to kill Jesus, and they hide out in Egypt for years until it's safe to return. And then, of course, later when Jesus was grown, watching him be increasingly rejected and hated, and then watching him suffer and die on the cross. She must have wondered in the midst of all of this, is this really what it looks like to experience God's favor? It certainly wasn't all pain and toil and fear. I'm sure there were moments of joy, seasons even, of happiness. She got to see God provide up close and personally. She got to see Jesus live a perfectly sinless life. And as a parent, I have no idea what that would look like. What would that look like for your kid to be perfectly sinless? That had to bring her joy. She got to see her dead son after he had risen from the dead and proven to everyone that he really was who he said that he was, and see that triumph in his life. No, it wasn't all pain and toil and fear, but there certainly was a lot of it in her life. And you have to believe that there were many times that Mary questioned and wondered, is this really God's favor? So how was Mary favored by God? What did it mean that she was favored by God? Well, first we see that she was chosen. She was chosen by God to receive favor. It wasn't because she earned it or deserved it. It was a free gift of God's choice. Out of all the broken people in the world, God chose her to be Jesus' mother. What a thing to treasure, right? And to ponder. God's favor meant that she had a special relationship with Jesus. She had the privilege of knowing Jesus intimately, probably better than hardly anybody else knew him. And because she knew him, she believed in him. She believed that he really was who he said that he was. What a thing to treasure and to ponder in her heart. And God's favor meant that she had a special role in God's plan to rescue people from sin and death. No one else would be Jesus' mother. No one else would teach him about life in the world, at least in the same way that she would. No one else would keep him safe. Certainly, that was a huge responsibility, but what an unbelievable privilege. You better believe that she treasured these things in her heart, and she pondered them. You know, just like any other parents out there, Alyssa and I, we have found parenting our son Jake to be way harder and way more sacrifice and require so much more selflessness than we expected. But through all the difficulties and the sleepless nights, we've held on to one thing. We have been highly favored by God to be his parents. Of all the people in the world that God could have chosen to be his parents, he chose us. We have a special, close relationship with him. We know him better than anybody else. And he's a joy. And we have a special role in God's plan for him. And so we see when we look at the Christmas story that Mary, she was favored in a unique way to be Jesus' mother. But through the Christmas story, we learn that the news of Jesus coming to earth is good news that brings great joy for all people, not just Mary. Well, why all people? Well, in 1 Timothy, it says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And John, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Guys, the message of Christmas is a message of undeserved favor. Certainly for Mary, but also for anyone who would believe in Jesus. Whoever believes in Jesus is highly favored. And that favor, it looks a lot like it did for Mary, right? It means you're chosen. It means you have a special relationship with Jesus, and you have a special role in God's plan. The message of Christmas is this: God himself in the person of Jesus, the Savior of the world, has gone to great lengths to rescue you. You are highly favored. Well, maybe you've never responded to Jesus' invitation to believe in him. Well, maybe now is the time to believe in Jesus, to trust him to save you from your sins through his death and resurrection. If that's you, just tell him right now that you want to turn from your sin, your own way, through his death and resurrection in your place. Maybe you have placed your faith in Jesus, but your experience of pain and sin and the difficulties of your life, they have you asking, is this really what God's favor looks like? If that's you, then the message of this Christmas story is this: God's favor has everything to do with your relationship with Jesus, and very little to do with safety or comfort or glory in this world. But take heart, because God has chosen you. Take heart because you have a special relationship with Jesus. And take heart because you have a special role in God's plan. These are the things to treasure and ponder this Christmas. And just like the shepherds and the angels in this Christmas story, let's let those truths provoke us to worship God, even in the midst of earthly pain and trials. What the angel's saying really is true. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Let's pray. God, thank you for tonight and this opportunity for us to be here and to remember that favor that you have shown us, and that that's all about Jesus, that we can have a relationship with him, that he has come to this earth to rescue us through his death and his resurrection, and we have the opportunity to have a close, intimate relationship with him. We thank you for that. We pray that you would let that spur us on to worship, to treasure those things, to ponder them even this Christmas. We pray all this in your name. Amen.